Radio Influence, podcasting redefined.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Morning Val.
And hopefully my internet connection stays up, beans.
You'll be all right, I hope.
We've been through a rigmarole here, and while our intentions are always good to get the show done when people are in other locations, sometimes the reliability of the equipment given to us is not, it's not my fault. It's the hotel's fault. It's the hotel's fault, Frank.
I got to tell you, though, you sound just as good as you do when you're home. So your on the road traveling equipment is great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It's the same equipment. Isn't that awesome?
Just it's everything is just so movable.
It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I put out a Twitter disclaimer this morning saying, hey, guys, guess what? You know, I've paid for extra internet here, but if it drops out, you know, send some good vibes to the Dark to Light podcast.
Oh, that'd be so. Yeah, well, hopefully that carries us through, even though we already had a dropout during the sound check.
All right. Let's just get into it and get as much information out in as quick of a time as possible.
Yeah. Even if it's a solid 15-minute episode, people will appreciate the consistency.
Or lack thereof. Yeah. So listen, we've gone through and not talked much about Iran because, well, at least me on my side. And we've lamented to one another how confusing this entire situation really is, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I have from Finch, and I've asked his permission to talk about this, a really interesting clip that came out when he was being interviewed in a press pool, President Trump. And I'm going to play from a very specific timestamp here. And we're going to listen to, not the music, we're going to listen to what he says, and then we'll talk about it quickly. And this isn't going to be a long, you know, drawn out thing, but it's very interesting. And we'll get into more details. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right.
It was over international waters, clearly over international waters, but we didn't have a man or woman in the drone. We had nobody in the drone.
Are you still open?
Would have made a big difference, let me tell you. Would have made a big, big difference. But I have a feeling, I may be wrong, and I may be right, but I'm right a lot. I have a feeling that it was a mistake made by somebody that shouldn't have been doing what they did. I think they made a mistake. And I'm not just talking to the country made a mistake. I think that somebody under the command of that country made a big mistake.
You're talking about Iran's leadership.
Let's just see what happens. Let's see what happens. It's all going to work out.
I love it. I love that calm.
Yeah.
It's all going to work out. That sounds like a reassuring I hate referring to a president like a father figure, but that's that kind that the I'm just talking about the tone of voice. Let's just see what happens. It's all going to work out.
Not only that, but and that's absolutely the tonality here. That's what we're getting. That's absolutely the tonality. But
there's a surety.
Not only that, but did you hear the very specific thing? And this is what Finch picked up on. He says, I have a feeling that one of their generals made a mistake. Right.
Yes.
That is basically, and Pence just came out and reaffirmed that same thing in an article. There was an article, which we'll put in the show notes, where Pence comes out and says, you know what? Guess what, guys? Somebody up there pulled the trigger against the rules, against orders, so to speak. And what that basically means, as per someone who I trust, like there are very few people I trust with foreign policy, Finch is one of them.
Yes, me too.
That means that we're inside of there in terms of either human intelligence or signals intelligence at such a high level that that we know that that wasn't supposed to happen and somebody pulled the trigger on an attack that wasn't supposed to happen.
And then to show a measured response like this is really, really good in a diplomatic sense. And the other thing on top of all that stuff is that if we know that if we're just speculating, if we were to have known that this is something that happened, the shoot down of the drone happened over international waters, it was a mistake, somebody within the regime went a little bit too far, they acted autonomously, or they read the situation wrong, whatever the hell it is, if we have any kind of insight into that being a mistake, and it really gives you, it really should give you a little bit more pause, though, too, about those who were urging action. I mean, on Friday when I was bringing up all of the very interesting ways that President Trump was reacting to this situation, especially in defiance once again of John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, where, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago when Trump was in Asia or wherever it was, talking about if it was up to John, we'd be fighting in four more wars right now. You know, so he is showing restraint on all of these very dubious characters that people were nervous about being in the White House. And perhaps it's a wag the dog type of a thing, having a mustached lunatic like Bolton in there, so that Trump could be he can be the good cop. I don't know what the hell it is, but for him to go against all that stuff and really buck the trends and to make the media has been almost like concerned that there wasn't a strike.
You know,
like
how it's been sick.
Yeah, it really has been. Like, how dare you say that we might have a strike, but then didn't?
You know, not only that, but like one thing even I was keen enough to pick up on, and I think most people were, is this kind of back and forth wishy-washiness in regards to why they were going to shoot it down, then they weren't going to they were going to attack, then they weren't going to attack. The planes were up, the planes were down. And everyone on the left is like, he has no idea what he's doing. To the contrary, friends, he has every idea of what he's doing. And what he's doing is confusing the ever-living crap out of people like you and Iran. That's what he's doing.
And not only that, but he had the wherewithal to ask a very, very poignant question. How many lives will be lost? You know, why wasn't that a statistic or a bit of information or intelligence that was up front? Why did he have to ask about that in the 11th hour?
Can you imagine like a president actually caring about innocent people dying in another country? We're going to strike. Oh, my goodness.
Even if they're Iranians.
I mean, wow. That murderous dictator Trump at it again.
Like I said, whether it be the border and funding these caravans, they're upset that there hasn't been a greater loss of life.
It's sick. It really isn't. You know, we could go in several different segues, but I think a good one, and then we'll hit on the immigration, the newly revived immigration nonsense. But Axios published a piece today, exclusive leaked Trump vetting docs. So it seems like we're getting close to campaign season again, or we're in campaign season again. And so all of the same recycled talking points from years past are coming out. The rape accusations, the immigration stuff, Trump is literally Hitler. you know, any kind of thing that they've tried in the past, it's like a laundry machine that spins, and they just pull out a shirt, and on the shirt is like the topic that they're going to go after. Here are these leaks. We're going to get leaks and leaks and leaks. Nearly 100 internal Trump transition vetting documents leaked to Axios on HBO identify a host of, quote, red flags about officials who went on to get some of the most powerful jobs in the United States government. Then they tell you why it matters, Frank. It matters because the massive trove and the story behind it shed light on the slapdash way President Trump filled his cabinet and administration and foreshadowed future scandals that beset his government. And they list a whole bunch of people, Scott Pruitt, Tom Price, Mick Mulvaney. The Trump transition team was so worried about Giuliani, they created a separate 25-page document titled Rudy Giuliani Business Ties. And they go on and on. And so basically what happens is the RNC, the dirty-ass RNC, excuse my French, vetted out all the people that Trump could possibly pick to be in his cabinet and then did dossiers on all of them so that we'd know what was good and what was bad. And then that information apparently got leaked. Now, the only thing I see in here is that, like, that's of substance at my brief cursory look, is that even though people said really nasty stuff about Trump during the campaign, it seems like, from what they're saying, he looked at these people, knew exactly what their comments were because they were detailed out, interviewed them, and still hired some of them anyway, just because they were qualified.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
It's amazing. I mean,
it is. It is.
Meanwhile, able to put aside your murderous animus for somebody that spoke badly about you as per the left-wing media and actually hire them anyway because they are bringing something to the table?
Yeah. And then meanwhile, on the other hand, I read this morning that a leftward shift, Communist Party USA, sees a chance now as progressives surge. So, I mean, there's no different.
Wait.
This, yeah.
Are you saying that leftism is like communism?
I can't believe it. You remember, it was probably in the springtime, I read that one paragraph from the mission statement on the Communist Party website, and you tell it's the same exact thing. So we're supposed to be really, really scared about everything that Donald Trump is doing. But meanwhile, listen to this subtitle from The Guardian in Chicago, which is communist heaven, weather underground, headquarters, everything. Saul Alinsky stomping grounds. It has been the breeding ground for ideologues like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Valerie Jarrett, all of them. In Chicago, an American party, that is the first deception right there, an American party. In Chicago, an American party, derided and feared for 100 years, looked eagerly to a brighter future. See? It was just an American party, and they were just so wrongfully feared, you know? Because when they don't get their way, they blow up apartment buildings in New York City.
And that's all acceptable.
That's fine. That's fine. That needs to be massaged into the ass of everybody here.
It's just, it makes, the hypocrisy is so ridiculously overwhelming. It makes me like physically ill and angry. I get so mad. Like, I know that the majority of Americans see this for what it is. Like, let's talk about the immigration thing. I saw a lot of right-leaning or conservative people getting angry that Trump called off these ICE immigration raids over the weekend. And I wanted to position this a little bit differently for people, because while we shouldn't be playing politics with immigration or illegal immigration, at the same time, Trump has had to go to other countries to be able to get his agenda accomplished to stop illegal immigration. So he's got to kind of play a little bit dirty. Do you know what I'm going to say, Frank?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know what direction you're going in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one day soon you'll be able to finish my sentences. But until then, this is what he's like. Basically, look at what the left did. AOC is basically assisting people on breaking the law, how to evade ICE should they come to your door. All of these leftist Democrats came out and started basically aiding criminals in their search to evade ICE. All of their tweets over in the lead up to this, because nobody doubted that he would send ICE on a raid. Nobody doubted it, right? Because he would.
Yeah, all the local, even the local news over here in Westchester, all the local news is they were doing news briefs on it all too, and just letting people know what they can do, what websites have immigrant rights. You don't have to answer the door. You don't have to let police in. I'm like, oh my God.
I know. It's horrible.
And they're all in on it, Tracy. They're all in on this nonsense where they say immigrant rights, as if you came here from Lithuania, or you came here from Colombia or Argentina or someplace, and you put your paperwork in, you became a citizen, or you got your green card or whatever, and you're here, you're working, you're trying to become an American, you're trying to assimilate yourself into society, and because you're an immigrant, there's going to be a jackbooted thug at your door.
I mean, everybody knows legal immigrants aren't immigrants anymore. They're American citizens.
They're immigrant citizens. They came here, you know, so this whole, when they get rid of these terms of distinction, yeah, that's really, it's all psychological warfare. Unfortunately, very few people see it right now. I hope more do.
Well, Shem, our friend Shem Horn, Shem Infinite on Twitter, he retweeted Richard Blumenthal. Richard Blumenthal said, threat of raids is holding immigrant communities hostage. They're terrified to leave their homes, attend church, go to the doctor, or spend time with family. Using fear and intimidation to advance inhumane, xenophobic policies has reached a new tyrannical, un-American low. Okay.
That snake face. I hate that. He looks like a cross between a snake and a burn victim, that guy.
It's disgusting. Like, just these people know what they're doing, Frank. They know what they're doing.
Yep.
Shem said something absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. And it's a little bit of a different, let me just read it. He says, quote, threat of DUI checkpoints is holding our drunk driving communities hostage. They're terrified to leave their homes and drive drunk to attend church, drive drunk to go to the doctor, or spend time driving drunk with their family. It's the same damn thing.
Bravo, Shem.
Right?
Bravo. Yep. Absolutely.
It's the same thing.
Absolutely. But listen, this is why they're doing everything that they're doing. The governor in Oregon just signed the bill, becoming, I think, like the 15th state now to pledge their electoral votes to the national popular vote winner. I would love to see millions of illegal votes taken off the rolls in time for 2020 and have Trump win the popular vote in all these blue states.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be?
Oh, my God. I would love to see.
The heads that would, I call them splody heads.
I would love to see Trump get all of the electoral votes from Oregon and Colorado. And I would love to, oh God, it would be so sweet.
Listen, it would be beautiful because, like, we're going to get back to why Trump's doing what he's doing with immigration and the ICE raids in a second. But it would be beautiful because I don't think that these people understand as they try to grab more power and change the rules in order to benefit them. They don't realize what will happen if the opposite happens, like, and why that might be not a good idea. Like, I cannot wait for my video to come out on socialism that I did with Brandon for his education series, because I did exactly what you're saying. I basically swapped it around so that the changes that the left put in, like, basically ended up shooting them in the foot. So that they would maybe understand why tyrannical power is not a good thing?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that if this happened, if it swapped around, yeah. But if they would find themselves at the losing end of that fight against another tyrannical group, it once again just comes down to the really stark reality that what we have here is a very slight difference in parties where, you know, you have these leftist communist types and then maybe a little bit more right wing, just slightly to the right of them, and a little bit more nationalist, you have communists and fascists. And the one thing about the two is that they have all agreed on the most important thing, that government in a centralized form is the way to go forward and regulate and make the world better in whatever hell fashion or sense that they see it. The only problem is that once you agree on that those fundamentals, then all you need at that point to do is find a different way to differentiate yourself from the evil twin sister. And that's where all these social problems come in. The problem with this is if they get what they want, then they'll do whatever the hell they can to do it, as long as they get what they want. What if you and I get what we want? Nobody really has a grip on. I'm not asking for power,
which is exactly,
you know.
Yeah,
I'm not asking. You and I are, and people who listen to this show aren't asking for the power to compel people to act and consume in a certain way. We're looking for the exact opposite of what they want.
Yeah. Let people live their lives in freedom without being bothered and just have at least a little bit of rule of law still. So Trump decides that he's going to call off the ICE raids at the very last minute, at the ninth hour, and say, you know what? Let's come to the table, Democrats. If we can come to a solution and you can put forth some kind of policy or, you know, bill or something to amend, to fix illegal immigration, then we don't have to worry about the ICE raids anymore. Oh, don't mind the lawn going. Everywhere I go lately, they're doing, I can't stop the hotel from doing landscaping. So
it's okay.
I'm sorry. So anyway, well,
let me ask you about that. Yeah. Do an immigration deal. Then how do you get around that without deporting or actually taking action on the million or so people who already have deportation orders that are evading law enforcement? I mean, they need to go no matter what.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I would say this. I would say, if you think about it, they're here now, right? And this is just logical, in my opinion. It's not something they're here now waiting two, three weeks to go ahead and find them and grab them, kick them out of here is not a big deal. But if they can come up with some sort of way to keep track of these people, make sure that the court system is working so they can go through the process, stem illegal immigration at the border in the interim and just focus on the ones that are here, get rid of the ones who are criminals and, you know, not only just for coming here illegally, but for committing other crimes, et cetera, so on and so forth. And then filter them out and use the merit system to kind of understand who we should keep and who we shouldn't. It's like a decade long process to vet out who's just even in here now. But we need to get some kind of comprehensive immigration reform on the books. And my guess is, Frank, that the Democrats are not going to do that. And then that's it. That's all Trump needs. That's going to be it. The Democrats want illegal immigrants. They don't care about the Americans. They don't care about our homeless veterans. They don't care about this. They don't care about that. Clearly, they just want illegal immigrants to enter the country. And then he can pivot right to why, the majority of which is votes.
Well, let me ask you about this, because I wish we can talk to somebody who's an expert on the census. But with this census, which I wish was going on right now, because we need to be armed with this information for 2020.
Yeah.
I don't like this. I hate this. This timeline management. It is very, very slow. But
well, they got to mail this thing out to everybody.
But this is what I'm talking about. There's so many states in open rebellion of just the most commonsensical, logical lines of thinking is in keeping the well-being of your own country in regard. So my whole thing is, with so many states in open rebellion, where you have 15 states alone that have formed an illegal compact between each other, mm-hmm. to pretty much override a part of our constitutional system without going through the amendment process, which I'm sure would be challenged and defeated in court, but it would probably just cause such an unbelievable hurdle for 2020, unless of course Trump wins the popular vote. But that goes back to the census again. With all these states in open rebellion, how is there anything really even holding people from going door to door and asking the questions that need to be asked about how many people are living in the household, how many people are citizens? I mean, I can see so many people just saying, we're not going to go there, and just yo-yo checking certain boxes. I can just see a whole bunch of community lying organizers. Yeah. I mean, think about what they did with the ballot harvesting.
No, I know.
They don't care.
I know they don't care. And you know, the crazy thing is, I had that event over the weekend, right? With Scott Pressler and Engage the Right. It was so awesome. There were like a little over 50 people there, which is amazing to me in like random Myrtle Beach. Some people drove for hours from like Raleigh and Charlotte to come. I was like, wow, that's amazing. We had such a great conversation. One of the things we talked about was the fact that you can actually, because Scott's a genius with this stuff and so are Engage the Right, you can find, like, let's say you moved from St. Louis to like South Carolina. You can go and make sure that your name is no longer on those voter rolls, and you can also check and see if somebody's voted for you. And one of the people in the audience said that someone had voted for her deceased mother. And then there's a process you can go through to get that taken care of. But like, think about what the process would be in the opposite of what you're saying. If we had like a team of people that were doing the opposite and vetting out whether or not those things were answered correctly, that's what the government should be doing, right?
Yeah.
Vetting those responses to see if they're correct.
Oh, it would be only logical, Tracy. And because it's only logical, I don't believe it will happen. Bless you.
That was my sneeze. What'd you think?
That was fine.
It's okay, right?
Yeah, it's all right.
I don't know how that happened, but it did. All right. So, I mean, the census is important, but gosh, it's so sad thinking about what could possibly happen. Like, it makes me my head kind of explode. But there is a positive, Frank. Look at what's going on in California with Judicial Watch and cleaning the voter rolls.
Hundreds of thousands have come off.
Yeah.
And what did that? What did those names? Those names were comprised of dead people, people who had moved. What is it?
All of that.
Okay.
And illegals. So there are people doing things.
God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Who knows? That right there is a blow. Hundreds of thousands.
In California.
Yeah.
Because look what happened in California, right?
Yeah, I would have to imagine that between New York and California, that was going to be most of the popular vote edge that Hillary Clinton had.
That was it. You're right.
Pretty much. That's if not all of it, but even most of it. Because remember, we saw over 100,000 illegal votes were cast in states like Pennsylvania, where Trump won. That came out in the months after the election itself.
I know, and that's pretty scary if you think about it, because the only reason why he was able to succeed in a lot of those states is because there was such an overwhelming turnout for him that they couldn't use that to overcome the difference.
Well, now that he's a known quantity, I don't know how enthusiasm for him would waver at all.
I don't see it wavering, but we also can't be complacent, right?
No, absolutely not. Listen, anybody who thinks, oh, no, he's got it in the bag, I don't, you know, what? No. Has the left been like, oh, wow, we're really taking our lumps. He's really getting us. No, they're defiant. They're getting worse. That means that at all costs, they are going to try to do something at all costs. So I don't see how any logical person can actually rationalize a reason to stay home in November.
I don't see anybody doing that. I really don't see many people staying home. I think we'll have more of a turnout than we did in 2016.
Yeah. And I hope that there's a lot of vigilant citizens out there watching how these votes are being handled, everything.
Not only that, but like we witnessed here in South Carolina some blatant law breaking in terms of the voting. Excuse me. Like candidates were standing on the line electioneering against the rules.
Electioneering.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next thing that like I'm seeing in a different way than I think many people are. I don't know if you've even heard of this. I caught it on a whim. I was doing a Twitter search for somebody else's username and I saw that Sean Hannity was trending. Have you heard the story about him?
No. I've been pretty detached over the last couple of days.
God bless you. God bless you. I hope
you're supposed to be the one on vacation.
I know. You know what? I know. And you know, I'm so excited. My kids and my husband are down at the pool right now. And as soon as we're done, I am jetting out of this room right down there. And I'll be there until they kick me out.
I got some sun yesterday, although I was laying in my driveway in the blacktop.
I hope you didn't fall.
No. I put a lounge chair out there and I started reading a little bit. And then I switched. I was listening to the Yankee game and reading a book that I wanted to get finished. And then the Yankees started losing so badly, I turned them off. And then I put on a couple of podcasts and it was a nice day. I got some more good color, a little layer by layer, Tracy.
That's the way you got to do it.
Yeah.
Layer by layer, slowly, a slow buildup.
Indeed. Do you have a base?
I do. I do have a base only because I sit outside every morning and I read and I drink my coffee and I kind of study up on what's going on.
You know what? I love that idea. And I just tried it today.
It's great.
I told myself last night, I am going to wake up, and Lauren was taking my car she used my car for work today. So I didn't have a car today. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wake up and I'm going to walk all the way down to the coffee place. I'm going to pick it up. And I'm gonna listen to podcasts and daily briefs and news and all that all the way down and all the way back up. Then I sat in the back porch. I ate a little bit. I kept listening to things. I think I'm gonna start interchanging podcasts and books every morning.
Yeah.
And then start writing around 11 or so.
See, I get up at like I guess between 5:30 and 6 most days, and like the first thing I do is make my cup of coffee and go outside and sit in my chair, my big chair that I got, my lounge chair. It's like huge. It's like this big, it looks like almost like an Easter basket. It's like, it's just the best thing ever I invested in for myself one Mother's Day a couple years ago. And I sit, it's so comfortable, and I have a porch and I sit back there and the sun comes in sometimes. It's nothing unbearable. And I read and I do everything I need to do. And I'm out there for hours every morning. Hours. No, everybody knows, do not bother wife or mommy when she's outside like that.
Yep.
So, I do have a base, and you know, I'm being very careful because I'm starting to get weird red, like, age spots and stuff. And I'm like, I was so bad when I was a kid. I used to slather myself in baby oil.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you weren't looking to lessen the sun. You put Crisco on.
Yeah, I did. When I was younger, I did.
You know what, though? I got to say, I used to, there was a couple of summers that, just like in high school and maybe the first two summers of college, I loved putting on the Hawaiian Tropic dark tanning oil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To hell with your SPF. I wanted dark tanning oil. I love the smell of that Hawaiian Tropic oil. Oh, I want to drink the whole damn thing.
I know. It's really nice. I used to do the same thing. I could tell you I was so dark when I was, because I have Italian skin. I get dark, you know, but like when I was younger, oh my God, not now. Now I'm slathering myself up with like SPF 70. Anyway.
Well, I'm sorry to distract.
No. I don't know if anybody really gives a crap about my tanning habits, but.
I asked. I was the one asking if you had a base. All right. Well, let's move on.
I love you, Frank.
Yeah, well, thank you. Love you, too.
So there was a Sean Hannity story that came out. It was basically in the Manafort case, there was a new release through Pacer of basically pages and pages. I read, I guess, three quarters, maybe a little less, of Sean Hannity, Paul Manafort text messages. Okay. And basically they're talking to one another and Sean is saying, you know, I can't believe that this is happening. This is a travesty. There's a dual justice system in this country. I cannot believe that Hillary Clinton has done all of the things she's done. And he names all the other stories and he's like, and you know, like, you're just being destroyed by this, like the raids and he's like, basically what it is Sean Hannity being Sean Hannity, the same person, but in private. So to me, reading this, I said, wow, what a principled guy.
Mm.
Because he's the same, regardless of whether or not, listen, I don't trust Paul Manafort as far as I can throw him, right? I still think what they did to him is wrong.
Same here.
Right. But the black book ledger was nonsense. It wasn't true. Did he commit crimes? I'm sure he did. But what they've done to him is disgusting. And he never got transferred to Rikers, by the way.
What they've done to him is disgusting just based on the fact that everybody, 80% of Washington, D.C. should be in jail then.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing. I hate being flippant about this because, you know, oh, I don't care about Paul Manafort. Oh, I don't know anything about him. He has no impact on my life. But to empathize with him and try to put myself in a prison right now because he was a useful scalp to collect during a political crusade is awful to think about.
Yeah, not only that, but I'm still not convinced, and this might be unpopular, that he wasn't placed there on purpose. Like another one of those patsies we've talked about so many times.
You mean ones that he thought he was doing one job, but then got the shaft?
Yeah, or that they said, we need you to get in there because X, Y, and Z. And then they completely flipped on him without him even realizing what they were doing. And then he was buddy-buddy with Kilmanick, who was buddy-buddy with the State Department. I mean, he was a State Department source, and Manafort and Kilmanick worked for years together. So how is it possible that Manafort isn't also involved there? I just think we haven't seen this stuff yet, in my honest opinion.
Why his silence, though? Why not drop the bombs on everybody who screwed with him? I mean, if you're already going to jail, who cares about blackmail at that point?
I don't know. And that's like, you know, that's the thing. Is there a fear on his part that something bad could happen to his family, or you know what I mean? Like,
I guess. Yeah. Family.
I don't know. Just you never know. I mean, I could be completely wrong, Frank. I could be completely wrong. And Manafort was just innocently brought in there to do the delegate strategy for the convention.
I mean, if you think about it, they tried to and they're still trying, and so many people are still trying and hoping that General Michael Flynn goes to jail. So to say that there's no precedent of them actually wanting to pick apart Trump team members in a convincing way to show that he was surrounded by criminality is there is a precedent for that. So I don't know. I don't know how much I would invest in Paul Manafort going in there to do one job, taking the fall for something else and not fighting back as part of. I don't know how I think that there's he just was caught up in what became a very, very ugly plan.
I agree with you on that. And they stepped in to stop the Rikers transfer. So in my opinion, that means all those people that were saying how horrible it was that he'd be going to Rikers and or I mean, how normal it was, excuse me, that he'd be going to Rikers and all that. I think they were out of they weren't correct. I think that the what we had said about Rikers was correct in that it's a very odd place. Excuse me, my goodness. It's a very odd place to bring Paul Manafort from to await his state, you know, his state charges. But basically what this was Sean Hannity texting back and forth with Paul Manafort. And it was really Sean Hannity, the way you see him on TV. And, you know, I've had my qualms with him. He's a little bit of a war hawk, in my opinion. He's very like, you know, he's very... He's not like neoconservative, but he's very anxious with the military, in my opinion. But he's so passionate and loves this country so much. And it's clear to you when you watch the show, at least to me. And to see the text messages between him and Manafort, I just thought this is the same shit he says to people on television every single night that he's saying in private where he doesn't think that anybody will see it. And to me, that means something.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it definitely goes. It definitely, yeah, it does. And I didn't even know what you were talking about when you brought up the Paul Manafort thing. I thought that it was something else I had seen elsewhere. How there's more evidence that are that's coming forward that may indicate that all the steps taken against Paul Manafort were, especially by the FBI, were
illegal
under false pretenses. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some coverage of that over the weekend. That popped up on my watch later on YouTube. So I listened to a few minutes.
Yeah. You see, that's the other thing. Like I was blessed. I did an interview with Lars Larson on Friday night. Do you know who he is?
No.
Gosh, he's got 5 million listeners across the country. He's on the West Coast, Lars Larson. And I was asked to do an interview with him, which I was pretty floored about. And I did it. And one of the things that I said in the interview was, I can't believe that, you know, they were basically, he was basically frustrated that we weren't seeing cases and charges and stuff brought up against the people, the bad guys, so to speak, that we're expecting. And I said, if you think about it, again, I use the Michael Avenatti taking 3 years to get his financial crimes case out of California finished. And then I said, look what's going to happen when you start a case on a weak footing or when you don't have all the facts or when you have to make up facts like they did in the Mueller investigation several times or change words around to make it seem different, you know, you're going to get cases that are going to get overturned. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if in 6 months, Manafort's convictions overturned or there's a mistrial declared or whatever, based on the fact that all this information's coming out now.
Hmm. It would be great. But like we said before, you know, his name is Mud. So it's... really interesting.
It is. Another story for you, Frank.
Okay.
So you remember like several months ago, like Laura Loomer and Ali Alexander and even what's his name? The guy who got kicked off of Twitter who came after.
Who? How many people got kicked off of Twitter?
No. The one who made up the allegations against the sexual assault allegations against Robert Mueller. Jordan... Shoot. He was like notorious. He did the press conference with Jack Berkman when he had his fly open.
I don't remember.
His dad's on Twitter. Mother. I can't remember. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he was out there too. Somebody's going to remember. And they did the story about Ilhan Omar marrying her brother. And everybody was like, you're so stupid. You're conspiracy theorist. Luke Rosiak of, I guess, Imran Awan fame. He wrote for Daily Caller Investigative Group. Representative Ilhan Omar has been accused of but has denied marrying her own brother. But apparently there's a lot of details surfacing and a lot of evidence coming up that she did marry her own brother to get out of taxes and to, you know, in an immigration kind of scheme.
Of course.
I just can't believe I'm reading this story.
Oh, you should believe it. These are the worst types of people that ever walked the earth. They will do whatever. They will lie and they will look you in the face and call you a bigot. They will. It's just in the most evasive way of talking, and they're awful. They're just awful, awful, awful people. And once again, it's not a matter of, oh wow, how horrible that some people can be raised this way, or that this is the way that some people see the world and act in the world. The problem is that we have a system that allows these baser, awful portions of humanity to come forward and entrench themselves and use it to their advantage and protect themselves and create political movements that they can control and influence many, many more people than just whatever happens in their filthy households. And that's just the problem here. That's just the problem. There's always going to be snakes in the grass, like Ilhan Omar. Always going to be snakes out there, like Ilhan Omar and AOC, and you know, they're all out there. But the problem is that we have a system that they can build a nest inside of. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, this is not. So, you know, I know I get a lot of shit when I say I want to facilitate a great divorce, but something needs to happen where the skeletal that our federal government is brought down to a unmovable skeletal structure, unmovable, that you cannot do anything else with it. Is restricted by limited currency, everything.
Yeah,
everything.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I agree with you, and I just picture what it started as and what it was meant to be and where we're at right now. And it makes me kind of sick to my stomach.
What started as is you and your family are really more concerned. You're consuming local newspapers and you care about who's on your city council, and you're out there tilling your own fields, and you're buying local, and you're just living your life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you'll get the news of who was elected president. Yeah, the news will get to you guys. Okay, so this is our new president now, and this and that, blah 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 blah. But it doesn't really affect you. You had the comfort and security of knowing that even though the federal government is functioning in its own way, it wasn't going to come down and really dictate the way that you are able to live in your town, local culture, local everything, the local economy. You had a lot more hands-on control. Now everybody's in their homes. And they're waiting with bated breath to see who their new dog walker is going to be. that's exactly what this is. Everybody's waiting to see who the new 4-year dog walker is going to be.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, Ravelry has their say about it. Ravelry is a craft community, a knitting community.
I heard about this.
They're banning support of Donald Trump and his administration. We cannot provide a space that is inclusive of all and also allows support for an open white supremacy.
What about an open black supremacist? Is that okay?
No. I mean, yes. Yes.
Okay. All Sorry. Right. Just want to make sure.
They're like, we want to be inclusive. Get the F out.
Yes, I know. And of course, the market, I have to imagine.
The market for knitting clubs?
The stock market is just going to tank now that the knitting market has been.
Somebody, you know what? Somebody just tweeted at them. Has someone hacked your account? And they retweeted and said, this is very real. See the front page on Ravelry.com for corroboration.
Oh, well, you don't check the front page of Ravelry.com every morning before you start your day?
I just listen.
If I don't get my knitting news, I don't know what the hell I would do. It's like a digestive aid for me now.
Can you do me a favor, though, real quick? Can you go to Twitter?
Okay.
And go to the account is at Ravelry.
At Ravelry. How do I spell it?
R-A-V-E-L-R-Y.
Oh, E-L.
Because this is only something that Frank could do. Look at the banner picture. Look at the background. You tell me what you think.
Oh, my God. It looks like the... Oh, my God. It looks like the Land of Misfit Toys.
There are two men that I see in there.
The Land of Misfit Toys.
I see two men.
And where's the Lion King?
Look at the woman on the left-hand side, like, kneeling down. They all look like the same people that go to the Women's March wearing the hats. They all do.
No, these are people who should be allowed to form like a woodland forest commune somewhere. And, you know, they should completely just reinvest themselves in their you know, everybody there.
They should be allowed to do, Frank? They should be allowed to each have their own opinions about the President of the United States. They should each be allowed to share whatever patterns they create for a Make America Great Again blanket without fear of reprisal.
And why are they all fat?
They're
what is with
because
the,
they're knitting. They're not doing anything. God.
We are the most well-fed group of assholes on the planet. Really. The most well-fed assholes on the planet.
The one on the right has green hair and a baby strapped to her chest.
Oh, yeah. Well, the baby's already a goner. Too bad. That's
but
too bad.
Some of these people are conservative, believe it or not. They are. Because I've come across a bunch of conservative accounts saying, I can't believe this. This is out. This is crazy. I've used Ravelry for crafts for years, and now all of a sudden I'm not welcome there anymore.
Yeah, well, that's the sad part about all this stuff is waking up one morning and realizing you were the killer in the monster film. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just an everyday person, and you have your values, and you don't get swept up in the fervor of media corruption, and you look at Donald Trump in objective ways. Yeah, maybe you weren't a fan of him when he was a game show host and a celebrity figure in the entertainment industry. But you know what? As far as how his ideas apply to you and how, you know, you perceive American independence to be and all that stuff, you might be able to say, all right, you know, I'm going to vote for him. I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to go on my life, and I'm a good person. I give to charity. I love the people in my community, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden one day you realize, oh shit, I'm the murderer. I'm a racist.
Yeah. I'm a bigot. I'm a homophobe.
Yeah, I should be taught a lesson. I should be kept out of certain places and websites.
Yep. Not allowed to go and share my craft patterns because they might offend someone, and you know, we can't support white supremacy. Like, just, I mean, isn't it almost like libel that they're even saying that? Can't these people sue?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, it's their own TOS.
Do you want to hear something that really kind of got me a little bit angry? I was sitting downstairs last night with my husband at the pool where the kids were swimming, and we had a little drink. And I was looking through my phone for things to talk about today, and I came across an article by the Daily Wire that is titled "Warren Comes Out for Quote Gay Reparations."
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we need. As if all of Hollywood isn't a reparation enough. They own all of the entertainment industry. They are every third character on television. They are every talk show host on television. They're so overrepresented in pop culture right now. How is that not reparations for everything?
Well, why don't you tell me, like, honestly, what do you think that she means when she says gay reparations? Do you mean that, like, do you think, because this is what I thought, that they meant that, like, people should pay for the basically the discrimination that gay people went through for so long?
I don't know, because I have been discriminated against, and I'm a straight white male. And can everybody apply individually for reparations if they feel they've been wronged in their life, or is it just? Is this just only viable if you are a political agent that can consolidate a small slice of people and advocate on their behalf in order to create public fervor and grab votes and all that other stuff and manipulate people into affirming that there are protected protected classes of people in society that are very, very viable in financial and political ways. I don't know, because I think everybody has a case for reparations.
Well,
I have a case to be made for that I should be given money.
You know, the funny thing is that I went through that very same thought process as you just did. And then I read the first paragraph of this article and I got angry.
Well, I can't say what I want to say about Elizabeth Warren.
No, you don't. You might want to hold it for a second and listen to what this actually is. You may not agree with it, and I'm not sure if I do, but it sure as hell ain't reparations. You ready?
Yep.
On Thursday, presidential hopeful Senator Elizabeth Warren came out in favor of legislation that has been equated to gay reparations. Under the Refund Equality Act, same-sex couples would be able to amend their past taxes, readjusting with jointly filed tax returns and accepting refunds from the IRS.
Okay. All right. All great. Right. Yeah. Okay. Fan. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Lauren and I, oh, it's still, so we're still paying our taxes for this. I'll be paying the taxes from last year until October.
I get it. I paid two. Okay. But that's not, think about this for a second. Like, I don't just bear with, this is hard because a lot of people are, I hate saying things that I think people are going to hate, but I have to just get this off my chest. I don't know that I hate this all that much. Do I hate it? Yes. But I don't know that it really just bothers me as much as it's made out to be. Because listen, there was a law against people marrying people of the same sex that got reversed. And these people were living together and cohabitating together as a couple for those years, right? And they were paying income taxes as singles, which don't give them the same benefits as they would have if they were paying together when they were together, right? I don't think that the government should take any of your damn money. So if these people can go back because they can prove that they were together in a domestic partnership years prior and get that money back, do I think that that's a bad thing?
But the money doesn't exist.
I understand. This is what I'm talking about. I understand. I know. Conceptually.
They're going into the past to try to find something, a way to keep their voters exactly where they are.
I know.
Okay. You want to say, well, gay couples that were filing as singles for the last 15 years. Well, we should allow them to get a refund. Refund? It was their money to begin with. Stop the taxation. They're going 154 years back in the past to try to buy off black voters now.
I know.
It's not about doing what's right. They're desperate.
I know that it's not about doing what's right, but as a fundamental issue, thinking about it, I was unable to be inflamed and incensed, and I don't think this is reparations.
As a fundamental issue, all of the money I got back, I should have gotten all of it back. Nobody should be taxed, period. They're not going against the base issue here. They still think that taxation is not theft. They still think that that taxing and spending on all this nonsense that doesn't bring us anything but more chances for bribery. Like, look at this. Look at this. They're okay with taxation, but they're going to go back and they're going to say, well, this was this little piece here that could be used for in our favor. It should inflame you.
The idea that the Democrats want to steal my money from me and the Republicans want to steal my money from me that I make inflames me. The fact that this headline was written as reparations, I think, is misleading. Could you at least agree with me on that?
It is reparations.
We're in an impasse here because I know what you're saying and I agree with what you're saying too. That's why this is like such a tightrope. I just feel like if I made a mistake and something changed, I could go back and if they make a new tax law tomorrow, Frank, you can take your old taxes and throw them back into the system to be relooked at to see if you can get money back. If you forgot to claim something 4 years ago that you had access to claim and you just learned about it, you can take your taxes and put them back through the system. And if it applied, they'll give you your money. So it didn't apply back then, we'll say. So that's where I'm torn. Like, if the law didn't apply back then, it's more of like a legal thing than like the concept of taxation is bad, which we all know it is. You know what I don't know. Maybe I'm.
I just want to start rejecting. I want to keep rejecting the premise upon which all this is sold. And if you see, and the reason why, especially now, it whittles down to nothing but reparations is because at the same very same time, they did last week, we all watched a farcical congressional hearing on reparations for slavery ended 155 years ago.
And not that it was farcical. Did you see who was it that came out?
Burgess Owens?
Yeah. No.
And what's his name? The writer, he's a Democrat.
No. I'm talking about the football player.
Burgess Owens.
It was Burgess Owens?
Yeah.
He came out and basically said the Democrats should be paying reparations.
Yeah, well, that later on that night, I on my show, I said it myself. I said every American, especially if you've been here since the Johnson administration, if your family's been here since the Johnson administration, every American has a right to claim reparations for what the federal government has done to everybody, because since the 60s, they've been selling nothing but single motherhood and abortion and welfare and federal education and war. And we have $21 trillion of our money that is in the memory hole. That's just what we can account for. And that doesn't even account for the human toll of what this federal government has put down on all of us, regardless of our sex and our color. So everybody, I think that the federal government owes everybody reparations. They should give it back, all the $21 trillion, to everybody who can prove they've been citizens since the Great Society. And then from there, we should destroy the tax system altogether. And they can kiss their own asses.
Can I tell you something? As we're closing out today, we're going to close a little bit early because the past couple shows, they've gotten an extra 6 minutes. So we're due back 6 minutes.
Okay.
No. When I was at my event on Saturday, so many people came up to me and said how much they love the show and how upset they were at the comment that you read and how much they love you.
Oh.
I'm serious. It was at least five people that came up to me.
Thank you, everybody.
Seriously. Like
I took it in stride. I laughed. I have learned a long time ago to be very, very comfortable with self-deprecating humor. It keeps me humble.
I just want to let you know, though, honestly, people love you, Frank. They really love you. People really care about you. They were so hurt that they thought that you were hurt, even though you were, you know, I know you were semi-joking about it. They still were upset that you might have been upset. And I just think it's beautiful. And this community is beautiful. And it was just really cool for people to just come up and say, tell Frank. I was like, I love Frank. I'm so blessed to have Frank. Oh, my gosh. Like,
people have been great. And I don't know. You know exactly how it is. You've been put through quite a few trials yourself. And,
you know, I learned a new one, Frank, from Brian Gates. He had a thread. I didn't even know this. Somebody called me basically a prostitute with a tin cup. And I had no idea. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is really hard to read.
So you're a beggar prostitute.
Yeah, basically.
Just walking around. Yeah. Help, please help.
Yeah, basically walking around trying to enlighten people about what's actually happening in the world.
Just you put a couple of your own quarters in to start it off, so you can jingle something.
Can I have some more, please?
More. hey, you know, so you had one quick thing though, and so you brought up Warren with her gay reparations, and then of course the overall party with their slavery reparations. You heard that Bernie Sanders wants to cancel out $1.6 trillion in student loan debt. So there you go, student reparations too. I already paid mine off. Can somebody give me a refund of the $60,000 or so that I had to pay off?
Paying my student loans.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. No, I hope that Sanders gives money back to everybody who already paid their bills, because then you're just rewarding those who either put it into perpetual deferment or those
I
who.
Did that.
But listen, you got to do what you got to do.
Listen, I did it for years until I was like, okay, I can do this now, and now I'm paying them.
Yeah, no, I would love to get it.
You know how much interest I got tacked on to those loans because of that?
All I know is that if everybody got at least half of what they paid in student loans back as per Bernie Sanders, then I would have more than enough money to put down cash on a house and that's it. Great. Mortgage. Everybody will be able to get themselves a house.
It was a good one today, Frank. What do you say?
Yeah, good. Very good. I'm glad that the connection held up and our only hiccup was in the sound check.
Yeah, which was great. Hey, guys, you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Morning Val.
And thank goodness the internet didn't cut out on us beans.
You guys, you got to upgrade your name from the start to finish.
I did. I upgraded. It's a plus. Yeah, I'm going to go down to the pool now after I write the show notes, and I'm going to have a good rest of the day.
So, like you said, when you're down at the pool, you are going to get cranberry and vodka. What is it? What's your drink?
No, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to have myself a vodka, a Bloody Mary to start.
Bloody Mary.
Yeah. And then I'll probably do beer just to keep myself okay.
Oh, beer would not make me okay.
I don't want to go too crazy, but you know, it's 11 in the morning.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. Oh, it's 11:25.
By the time 4 o'clock rolls around, who knows what'll happen? But for right now, we're good with a beer or two.
Yeah, I'm gonna finish this iced coffee, and then I'm just gonna be on water for the rest of the afternoon.
That's my usual day. I'm just gonna take my phone out of my hands. There's gonna be no tweeting, and it's vacation time.
We'll see.
You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you Wednesday.
Later.
This is an Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear quick fix on Radio Influence.
When I hear things like this, this is what makes me laugh, okay? Here's the newest disorder, everybody. You ready? Here's the newest disorder. Restrictive intake food disorder. You know what that is? That is your kids only eating certain things. Now, if you grow up with nothing and you're hungry and somebody puts liver and Brussels sprouts on your freaking plate, you know what you're going to eat? Liver and Brussels sprouts, promise you. You know, if I had a nickel for every time somebody says, well, my kid only eats chicken fingers and chicken nuggets from McDonald's, and I go, well, your kid would be a dead son of a bitch if he lived in my house, because we wouldn't bring that in my house. Do you know why he only eats that? Because he can. Because he can. If it was up to me, and that's the problem, everybody, all these parents are leaving it up to the children. All right? You're leaving it up to the children. No, one time in my life, my wife got up to try to cook something different for the children. I said, sit down. We don't do this in this world, and it's my world, unfortunately. Uh-uh. If you don't want to eat that, that's fine. But we will not cater to you. Restrictive intake food disorder. Only in rich countries can that exist. You know that, right? I mean, if you're a poor country, boy, you better eat the ass out of a goat. Goat ass is delicious if you're hungry. Trust me.
You can find Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.